Hey, welcome to the show. This is episode 2, and today we're going to be breaking down the 2019 Men's Freestyle World Team Trials. I'm Jay.
And I'm Steve.
And this is The Inner Circle. All right, we're going to get right into it. So, World Team Trials was this weekend.
Cool, so let's talk about 57 kilos.
Sounds good to me. Gilman's the winner. I mean, were you surprised?
No, not at all. I'm kind of excited to see what he does this year after, you know, disappointing last year. But I still think Gilman's, you know, top-tier wrestler in the world.
Yeah, I agree. He's in one of those spots, I think, that's sort of a make-or-break spot. We've seen a few guys go through this where they have, like, maybe one or two hot seasons. They never quite punch through for a title. And then maybe they drop off. I mean, I guess I'm talking a lot about, like, somebody like James Green. Mm-hmm. A couple of medals and then sort of falls off a little bit. I think he's in a similar position. We'll get to him. But I think Gilman's in kind of a make or break. He comes out kind of storming that silver medal in 2017. Helps the U.S. win, Worlds for the first time in a long time.
Which is amazing.
And then, like you said, kind of a disappointing year last year. I actually thought he had caught a good side of the bracket. Disappointing world championships. And then comes out and gets bested by Fix in the Open.
And which says a lot about Fix. I mean, he's really there. I mean, he's ready to be on that stage. I think he can keep Gilman off the top of the podium. I really believe that. He's so fun to watch too. Now the problem with Fix though is he will prove his spot. He will show you like what he's worth anywhere below, you know, that finals match. I mean, he's going to show you, like, in the semis and the quarters, he's going to beat those guys up.
Blowing through guys. I mean, I'll get to this more when we get to heavyweight, when we're going to start talking about Gable a little bit. But my question is, where is that Fix during the season?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, right?
Where is that guy?
Where was that against Felipe?
Yeah, I don't know what the difference is, and I don't know if it's a weight thing. We kind of talked about this earlier. He's obviously going 57, which mm-hmm. is the equivalent of 125 pounds. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't wrestling 125 pounds in NCAAs. So is he wrestling light in NCAAs? Is he cutting the weight now? I mean, it's a little odd to me.
I think he fills out well. Obviously he's not the wrong weight, you know, for NCAAs, because, you know, he made it to the finals, almost won it, but I think that the extra muscle he does have, I mean, it's obvious he's definitely a thicker dude compared to some of the other 25 pounders. I think that would really help down at 25. And it's definitely helping at 57. I mean, he's doing pretty well. So
yeah. So I mean, I guess he's still. I mean, you count up the matches. He's still 1-2 against Gilman, right? Gilman beat him 2-0 in last year's Final X. Mm-hmm. That's actually one of the first times I watched Fix, believe it or not, in those losses, and said, "Okay, this kid's got it." Mm-hmm. Even though he lost.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember telling you that at the time. I just love the way he attacked at the end when he was down by just a couple points, and I just hate when guys just do
oh,
nothing.
No, he'll go for it. He will go for it.
Guy down by one, he just fakes a couple of shots. Mm-hmm. Man, pull the trigger. And fixed it. It cost him a couple of points.
Yeah.
So what, he ended up losing 4-1 still instead of 2-1.
Oh, I love it. Love
that. Who cares?
At any level.
Do it every time.
Any level of the sport, you know, when any kid does that.
So here's what I think about this match in Final X. I think it goes 3. But I think Fix wins. And I'm going to tell you why I think Fix wins. Believe it or not, after the Open, I would have told you, Gilman's got it. Mm-hmm. He lost that match. He'll make his adjustments. He'll come back and he'll beat Fix. You know, after watching his match with Darren Cruz, Gilman's matches with Darren Cruz, he's ending up in the same mm-hmm. position. And it actually looked like Cruz was taking a leaf out of Fix's book, because Gilman does a lot of that, you know, head down pushing.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
tries oh, to get Iowa to the edge. He stuff, forces yeah. you to try yep. and fight back in, mm-hmm. and either takes that
very
sweep,
Iowa style.
Yeah, sure. Either takes that sweep single, mm-hmm. which he likes, or he'll push you out and get his one. He's content either way. These guys are sort of slipping in that wizard position and grounding themselves, and then when they go out of bounds, mm-hmm. Gilman's done all that work and nobody's scoring.
And it's frustrating, but it's a genius.
Well, right, but Fix did it to him how many times in his finals match?
What, three times? Three times?
Three
times?
Or four times.
Yeah.
To the point where Gilman was actually starting to get a little, getting a little crazy. He tried to hop over the top, throw that leg in, ended up giving up 2 or 4, I forget.
Well, I think that's what you get when you're, I mean, I feel like with him, I mean, he's obviously way more talented than this, but the only shot I really see him take is he just goes, you know, righty club, lefty single.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's his go-to, and it's mm-hmm. extremely hard to stop. He, I mean, even at the even in the World Finals a couple years ago, he was hitting against that, what was it, Takahashi?
Takahashi.
I mean, it was like, he can hit it on anybody. But, I mean, after a while, you're going to get figured out. And that's what fixed it. I mean, that's what fixes
really good at. Yeah, and so, when I watched the Open, I said, all right, Gilman's obviously an extremely talented wrestler, and he'll figure it out, and I think he's got the experience to come back and do what it takes and win it at Final X when he needs to. But again, I see this exact same position coming through with Darren Cruz.
And yeah.
Darren Cruz is not a proven freestyle guy. Mm. I mean, I love Darren Cruz. He's super fun to watch.
Yeah.
And he was very, very talented. And
he's still making that transition, though.
Yeah. Sure. But, you know, you see him now being able to stop Gilman. Mm. Obviously, he didn't win, but he's being able to stop him in similar ways. And I say, okay, Gilman, what is your reaction there? What is your response? You know, Fix did this to you 2 weeks ago, and you couldn't get over it through that match to the point where he actually beat you, and you got a little desperate, giving up points, trying to get yourself out of that situation. Mm-hmm. Has he made that improvement? Because if that's his game plan, and Fix was able to stop it last time, it seems like that's still his game plan. So what's changed?
Not much. I mean, I think he really does rely on that lefty single just way too much, and he's just going to end up in those wizard positions unless he can finish every time, and he doesn't. I mean, he's amazing when he gets there. He can be fully flat. You've seen him fully flat on his stomach.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I've seen him recover from there, but it still doesn't make it a great position.
Of course not. I mean, I'd like to see maybe a lefty high crotch out of him, or like, you know, or just a straight-up double. I mean, that's like, especially with these American guys, they all love doubles. There's not a lot of crazy, weird Russian stuff coming out of people.
All right, so let's get your official predictions here. On record, so I'm going Fix in three. I think Gilman wins the middle match.
I haven't thought about it enough. I think I got Gilman winning the first and Fix winning the next two.
So I can see that.
Three matches. We both agree on that. But I think Fix comes out on top for sure.
All right, it's on record. Let's move on.
On record.
All right, we're on to 61. No Nation.
Yeah.
And no Seth Gross, which were two of the more electric guys from last year, I thought. Yeah.
And I can understand the Gross. I think he's still, he just wants to come back and be 100% and not have any, you know, setbacks, which, I don't know, I just want to see him wrestle, but that's me being selfish. I don't know what his situation is like.
Oh, of course,
like.
Yeah.
But Nation should, I mean, he's devoted how many years after college to freestyle? I mean, he should be there. And he's gotten better and better every year. I mean, he should definitely be there.
Yeah, I'm not sure the extent of his injury. Obviously, it kept him out of Worlds. I was disappointed when he didn't get to go. I was impressed with Cologne for stepping up and taking a bronze. I thought Nation versus Cologne and Nation versus Gross were two of the best matchups
crazy.
That I think we saw.
Crazy.
In the lead up to Final X last year. I mean, just an absolute...
Just how it, everything you want.
Oh, yeah.
Like lightweight wrestling.
And, you know, I remember making the comment, and other people making the comment too, that it's a dangerous way to play, because even though it's a lot of fun to see those fireworks, when you're scoring a lot of points like that, but you're also giving up a lot of points, I don't necessarily think it's a winning formula internationally. And I think that was a big critique a lot of people had of Nation was that, yeah, he can score in interesting ways and he's very dynamic, but he can also put himself in some bad positions to give up some fours, some untimely fours.
Reminds me of another, 61, was 61, yeah. Another 33-pounder I know. The Brewster.
So, yeah, that's sort of where I was leading up to here is we saw a 22-16 World Team Trials
crazy.
First round final.
Crazy.
Between Brewer and Graf, and that.
But you know what? They really
wild.
Just let it fly, and it was really fun to watch.
They did, yeah. Fun to watch. Yes, fun to watch. Absolutely.
Smart. Man, I don't know, but
not
fun to watch.
Not the most intelligently wrestled matchup we've ever seen. Nor was the most intelligently refereed match we've ever seen.
No, the whole weekend was just bizarre.
Bizarre is a good way to put it. I don't want to put it all on the refs or anything. But Bizarre is absolutely
because
there
are good refs there too. Like there's like that short guy that's really, really. I see him everywhere, and it's not like they've never ref before, so they might be seeing something I don't see. But
someone's going to have to explain to me how that exchange in the corner between Graf and Brewer ended up being 5 Graf, 2 Brewer.
Yeah.
No. So basically, to walk through, if you didn't see it, we'll watch it. But I don't know what we're telling you. I'm just hoping to verbally describe one of the most intricate sequences of a finals match.
Whatever. Impossible, yeah.
That was 7 points scored during that small sequence. Yeah, but here I go.
I wish we could like explain our facial expressions as we were watching it.
Yeah,
it was really
wild.
Wild.
So basically, Graf shoots in. He's in a righty high C, and Brewer hits him with a monkey roll. Right. Straight yeah. Gator bacon.
Drops
to his butt.
Typical elevator.
Elevates the leg. Graf goes over the top. So right off the rip, you're thinking, what?
Four Brewer.
I'm thinking four Brewer.
Mm-hmm. It was very, like, it really wasn't any debate.
No, it certainly didn't look like it to me. He rolls through. Brewer ends up on the bottom. Graf ends up coming behind. So you think, okay, four Brewer, one Graf. That's what mm-hmm. I'm thinking. If you want to call it that they were 4-2, maybe, but, you know, I don't think there was enough separation to then call it a takedown by Graf. So I would have scored it 4-1 on first view.
Right? Yeah, 4-1. Easily.
All right, so what I think it came down to is because they scored it 5-2 in favor of Graf. So I think what they're saying is that was somehow, even though it was very clearly Brewer's move, it was somehow a feet to back by Graf.
Yeah.
Giving him 4.
Mm-hmm. And then Brewer getting 2.
Brewer elevates, mm-hmm. even though they were calling Graf the initiator. Brewer then elevates, gets his 2 for exposure,
and then
Graf coming back around on top gives him 1
his
more.
Reversal.
So I think that's how they scored it to end up with a 5-2. But Brewer not getting the points when he looked to me like the initiator.
He was the initiator, hands down. It was really obvious to me. I mean, he stepped in. Elevated the leg. It was his move. It was his initiation.
Yeah, if someone can explain that better, hit us up. But I don't understand why that wasn't 4-1 Brewer. I just don't get it. And then there was just so many 2-2s, which
I can't.
I don't love 2-2s. I think when we watched it a second time, we were a little bit calmer. We thought maybe some mm-hmm. of them were justified. But every time I see a 2-2, I think that's a gutless move by a ref. And that's easy for me to say. It's very hard to officiate. It's easy for me to say. But 2-2 feels like such a cop-out.
It is such a... Oh, my God. There's no... You can't fault either side. You know, it's like... It's the way I see it, if you initiate the move, you have the right to put yourself in a little bit of a danger if you're going to score off it.
Absolutely. And I think that's how it should be, because I think that's how you're going to get more points scored and you're going to keep the sport interesting.
Yeah. The slip rule. I love the slip rule.
Of course. You don't punish... risk. If the other guy can punish you for risk, fine. But as referees, as officials, and as, I don't know, rule makers, we don't want to punish guys for taking a risk.
Yeah.
The other guy can take advantage of what you've done, then great. But if you are putting yourself to your back to get exposure, that's pretty much every single move.
Even in folk style.
That's a gut. Yeah. That's a lace. That's everything. Yeah, I mean, everything. You're going to expose your own back. So when Brewer hits that elevator, that's his move.
Mm-hmm.
It's Graf's responsibility to drop his hips there and, I don't know, like you did in the second match, and stick him, I guess. And,
get Iron Frog and not get turned. I mean, exactly. When Brewer was in, I think Graf was in another ready high crotch, and Brewer crotch lifted and pulled him over top, and it looked very much like Brewer's 2, and it was 2-2 because Brewer exposed. And I don't know if maybe he paused for half a second and made it look like Graf's too, but no. I'm seeing initiation out of Brewer. He's exposing the back. I mean, obviously he exposed his own back, but that's part of it. It's part of the game.
Yeah. My biggest takeaways from that was, what a weirdly officiated match, but bottom line, sloppy.
Sloppy.
Sloppy final.
Sloppy officiating, sloppy. Just weird.
Very fun.
But I actually, I think Graf is the one that needs to be going. Personally, I think he's the guy I want against Cologne, if I was choosing. I don't know.
So who do you think now we're gonna get? I'm gonna make you make your prediction first this time around for 61.
Cologne two. Cologne gets on top, turns him. I really believe that. I think Graf. You know, yeah. I don't know. I just can't see. Cologne has a pretty awesome defense. Really tough to finish on. I think he gets on top, guts him. He's got a really good parterre, Cologne.
I'm gonna give you Cologne 2, and kind of for a different reason. I think Cologne's got a little bit of beef after beat the streets after losing to Suriano.
True.
this is, we were talking about make or break earlier. Here's a guy that didn't actually win Final X last year, wasn't actually our representative, but goes to Worlds and wins a medal. So,
and had a disgusting Pan Ams.
He beat Yelos Rodriguez.
Which is amazing.
Like 9-3 or something. Yeah.
Even though that does happen to Rodriguez sometimes, he just does some really stupid, awesome fun stuff to watch.
So I guess that's just a 61 thing?
If you haven't watched Bon Rodriguez, go just look up some of his stuff because it's just crazy.
Go look up his fiver in the world team, the world championships.
There's probably a fiver finals. In every match he's ever been in.
Oh my gosh.
It's crazy. It was disgusting. But yeah, he stood straight up. What was it, Sidikov or something like that? Some Russian guy.
It was brutal.
Dropped him.
Brutal.
It was amazing. But anyway, Cologne beat him. Pretty amazing, and that's why I got Graf losing.
So yeah, like I said, I think it's absolutely make or break moment for Cologne. I think that's it. He's got to prove it now.
Can you do it twice?
One bronze, but you weren't even supposed to be there. Yep. So yeah, can you do it twice? I think that's a big question for a lot of these guys.
No, absolutely. And I mean, I have a lot of faith in Cologne. I think he's really good. I was kind of disappointed that he lost to Suriano after Suriano hasn't wrestled freestyle. I don't think ever
has. I don't remember.
I mean, no offense out of Suriano.
Bit of an embarrassing match.
I was really
talking about, you know, the world team trials being fun to watch. That was not the most fun match I've ever watched.
No, we should talk about BTS at some point. But BTS was amazing.
Yeah, definitely we'll get there. All right, I'm gonna go ahead and agree with you on Cologne 2. I think one of them is very close, and the other one's a blowout.
Cool. All right, on to 65 kilos.
Like, all right, so we're gonna have to.
What's going on?
We're gonna have to kind of blow by some of the earlier round matchups. Unfortunately,
yeah,
I'd love to sit here and talk about Ironman Molinaro, but there's just way too much to get to.
Yeah.
To talk about any of those earlier round matchups. So obviously we're gonna go. We're just gonna skip right to J.O. and Zane.
Mm-hmm. That's all that really matters, J.O. Zane. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what everyone went there for.
How did that become a rivalry? Why is that so hyped?
Well, I still believe it's because last year in, was it the Open Finals or was it World Team Trials Finals? And he foured Zane in the last second, a controversial four in the last second.
It couldn't have been last year because McKenna won the Open last year.
That's right.
Stever won the World Team Trials.
Oh, poor Stever. Rest in peace.
R.I.P. Stever's career.
R.I.P. Stever's career.
We love you, Stever. You're actually one of our absolute all-time favorites.
I wonder if you remember us.
You might.
But yeah, I think it was after
maybe
that.
Maybe it was 2 years ago. I think Zane took last year off, so maybe it was 2 years. And you know what? Yeah. J.O. was suspended last year, so it must have been two years ago.
It was 2 years ago. Wow, that's
this
right.
has been being hyped for 2 years.
Wow, holy smokes. That's crazy.
Wow.
But yeah, it was after that controversial four. Mm-hmm. It was never really settled who really is the better guy.
I know they had that exhibition at AWL. I think J.O. ended up winning it in a barn burner. It was like 13-12 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess this was for all the marbles this time. So, talk about a tale of two periods.
Oh yeah. Tale of two matches. I mean, it's like
both matches, J.O. comes out firing. Looks like he's got it in the bag. You know, Zane's pushing, he's sliding him by, hits one of the most beautiful doubles we've ever seen.
Slide by double thing. It was beautiful.
That double was nasty. And so we're both thinking, all right, it's J.O., I guess. And Zane claws his way back. I don't even know what to say there. I thought in that first match, though.
It's so brand those guys, though. I mean, it's so brand Jordan Oliver to be up early and then, you know, them someone crawl back. And
So let me tell you my problem with Zane is I've really felt over the last few years that Zane did not have his game elevated to an international level.
Mm-hmm.
That's not picking on Zane. The guy's a three-time champ. He's only got, two or three losses in his NCAA career.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't showing it to me, especially at that World Championship in 2017 when everyone was ripping. Everyone was going lights out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he really couldn't make it. Mm-hmm. And, again, I just think that...
It seems like a, you know, reoccurring trend with these Penn State guys are coming out and, you know, they have these unbelievable college careers and you assume they're going to just walk into, you know, the world stage with and just tear it through everybody. But that didn't really happen with David Taylor, especially. It's a great example of that. I mean,
you're right. Yeah.
Came in. I mean, he beat a lot of amazing people.
Well, those this is another show entirely. Those four guys, Burrows, Dake, Taylor, Cox.
Ugh.
The number of times they've kept each other off of teams.
Crazy.
And then to go out when they're all on the same team and for out of the four of them for JB to be the only one that didn't actually come up with the gold.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But the first time those three guys, let's say, Dake, Taylor, and Cox come out, they all rip out a gold, come on with gold. But you're right. You're right. I guess maybe we're a little bit spoiled in seeing a guy like Snyder, a guy like Yanni come out and be money.
Win early.
To be fair, we haven't seen Yanni do anything yet. Let's
pump
the brakes a little bit on Yanni. I love the guy. But you're right. So I really didn't see that as Zane. I thought J.O. had some bigger wins all time. He had beaten some guys that I said, okay, I know you're capable of beating them, so maybe you're the guy.
Had an amazing match against Chimizo.
Yeah, he seems like the kind of guy that if he was having a good day, the cards kind of fall in his favor. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like things could sort of build up in his favor. Just he takes some chances that go his way. He could come home with the world championship. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I never really saw that out of Zane. He just never seemed that dynamic to me. I think he's probably the more stable wrestler.
Oh, definitely.
But in order to get by some of these guys, I'm not sure he's good enough on merit. I think sometimes you have to be able to elevate.
Well, I think what's gonna push Zane past that is I think if he can level up in his parterre, because he's gonna take people down. I don't care who it is in the world. He can take anybody down.
Mm-hmm.
But if he can start turning people the way he was in college, oof. I mean, that's the one thing that I didn't understand about Stieber. Like, he has really good parterre, but like it didn't seem like it translated from folk style to freestyle.
Yeah, I agree, and we'll have to see if that trend continues. But I think guys like Lee and Fix and those guys seem to coincide. They have great top game in both styles, and yet some of these guys aren't quite there. So we'll have to see.
I think that makes a difference. It's going to show like you got to start young and you got to be going to. You gotta be wrestling freestyle.
So I think J.O. was maybe I don't want to say screwed, but there was a few calls that I think went in Zane's favor, but ultimately Jordan didn't do enough. He didn't do enough to overcome that. I thought there was one time he probably should have challenged. I think he was up one, and if he had lost the challenge, it would have been tied, and he still would have been winning on criteria. I thought that would have been a good time to challenge. I thought Zane stepped out on that exchange and that he shouldn't have gotten both those head pinches. You thought he should have got both those head pinches. Mm-hmm. So even still, we're 50-50 on it.
Yeah.
I would have thought if any time is a good time to challenge, I thought it would have been then. You've got to be able to.
Because it didn't matter.
You've got to be able to protect yourself from a step out. If you don't feel confident that you can protect yourself from a step out, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
He was, I thought, dominating the match. It was 6-1 before those two turns. It became 6-5.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that might have been a good chance. You would have cut that down to 6-3 and you could have coasted.
But that doesn't happen with him. I mean, this is how many times have we seen, I mean, Aaron Pico coming back and winning after being down. Mm-hmm. Zane Rutherford's done it a few times. I mean, look at Logan Stieber, you know, closing matches out after Oliver scored early. I mean, it just happens all the time.
How many times this weekend alone did we see guys winning last minute?
It's so capable of doing it in freestyle. It's so possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just get 1-5, or you get a 4, or you get a takedown to a lace. I mean, you can get back into any match really, really quickly.
So I think J.O.'s got to be able to finish. He's got to be able to come with the same tenacity in the last, you know, 45 seconds as he does in the first 45 seconds.
And is it a mental thing? Is it a conditioning thing? I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. So Zane Drain takes it. We're going to get a rematch against Yanni.
Can we talk about Yanni for a second?
Go right ahead.
I mean, this is just ridiculous. It's the most beautiful wrestling I've ever seen out of like someone that age.
It is a crazy style. I love every second of it. It's the stuff I would always tell my guys if I was coaching them to never do. And he does it, and it's amazing.
Perfectly. I mean, it's just like you can't even fake on the kid, and he's going to be on your ankle. You can't even fake on him.
I talked about this a little bit. After Beat the Streets in his match with Bajrang, I actually thought he gave up more points than he had to in that win.
Mm.
And what that means, as scary as it is that Yanni is actually still improving. There's still room for him to be better.
Yeah, he still hasn't really made that full transition.
Which is terrifying.
Which is terrifying.
So I'll say the same thing here that I said about some of the other guys. Where is this guy in the season? Why is he having nail biters with Ironman and McKenna when McKenna couldn't qualify through the open or the last chance qualifier?
Because I just the style. I mean, I really think that freestyle is better for Yanni just in general, but just the way he wrestles. I mean, he's gonna fall into these crazy weird cradles all the time with Ironman just because of the way he wrestles, and that's gonna benefit him in folk style a lot.
Don't you think that being a funky guy, you would actually benefit more from folk style because you have more freedom? Because you don't have to worry about exposure?
True. True. I mean, that's definitely true. But you're also going to end up in really weird places that you have to really fight out of way more than you would with McKenna, who is just going to take these crazy awesome doubles and singles. And
yeah, there's more. You're right. There's more opportunity to kind of salvage positions.
Folk style is not pretty to me. It's just like you're just beating the crap out of each other. You're just trying to, like, this freestyle to me is
it's a little less elegant.
And we can have a whole other show about just freestyle being my freestyle.
You know what? This is going to bring me into a good point because we had talked about, we're talking about 65, and you and I had talked while we were watching this match about twos that should be fours. JO's got Zane on his butt. Completely on his butt.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then continues to drive and gets the exposure, and Zane bellies out. That's 2 points for exposure. If Zane had gotten away, it would still be 2 points for the exposure. So when he follows up, shouldn't that be at least an extra one?
I totally agree with that. That's something we've talked about a lot. Is if you expose someone's back, that's its own entity, and then taking someone down, just like in folk style.
Just because it's not directly feet to back, it can still be two distinct things. Okay, so feet to back is the best. Obviously, Astro Tea Kettle is five.
Yeah.
Straight feet to back is four. A takedown or an exposure is two. So, okay, fine. You need something in between there. Then call the exposure the two. And then call the control one. Because, look, if JO exposes Zane there, which he did, Zane bellies out. And then, I don't know, hits him with a switch. Somehow ends up on top. Right?
Be one Zane.
Zane gets the one.
Yeah.
No, Zane gets the one.
Doesn't make any sense.
So if Zane is getting one for control after the exposure, then JO should be getting one for control after the exposure. So can we sit that in the middle there as a three? So exposure is two, a straight takedown is two, feet to back is four, butt to back or back and then following up with a takedown, head pinch to a goal.
Yeah, I've always thought about that.
Yeah, so think chest wrap or head pinch to a goal behind, three.
Yeah,
we call that three?
Absolutely, I totally agree.
Good.
And I just don't like how we have to teach kids that, you know, if you get your back exposed, just go flat. Nothing's gonna happen. Just chill. You know, keep wrestling.
Yep.
You got your back exposed. All right, cool. Get your hips out from underneath you. And keep defending.
Agreed. Keep all wrestling, right, so we'll go ahead and petition the league to get that changed.
Okay.
Cool. I don't know. Maybe we gotta care for what we wish for because I feel like freestyle rules change all the time.
Yeah, I know. We have to check the rules right now. They probably would change.
All right, let's get official Zane Yanni predictions. I've got Yanni in two, and that's crazy to say. I can't believe those words coming out of my mouth. Because honestly, it's not like he blew away Zane in the open finals. He beat him 6-4. Was it 6-4?
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
But he just feels like
8-4? Was it 6-4 or 8-4?
I think it was only 6-4. I'll have to double check on that. But either way, I don't think he blew him out. And I don't know why I have this feeling, but you're right. I feel like Yanni's on a different level. He's only getting better. And Zane, for once in his life, is an underdog here and trying to claw his way back up to the top.
Right. Crazy. Watch out for Vito Ruja, too. Those two train with each other like crazy.
That's true.
They've been training with each other
for a while. He had a great junior opens. Different show.
He's a different show. But you want to finish your prediction?
Yep. That's it. I got Yanni in two. I think they're close. I think they go about the same way. 6-2, 6-4, 5-3, something like that.
I have it going three matches, and I think Zane wins either the first or the second, but I still think Yanni comes out on top for sure.
Well, if it goes three matches, then we all win, because
yes, I kind of hope it does.
I could go for 18 minutes of
Yanni Zane.
All right, let's move on. All right, let's talk 70 kilograms. Not a whole bunch here. I thought that, you know, obviously with Ashnault being hurt, we got we didn't get to see the real best of three finals. Obviously, a great shot by Green to start. Looked like Ashnault's knee kind of tweaked and unfortunately, it was just over after that. And that's what you do. Just got to roll with it. You just got to roll with it, yeah. And hope you don't get hurt further or try and fight that.
Those brass guys are really good at that. That, you know, takedown.
Takedown right to the lace. Yeah, a takedown to the lace is absolutely nasty. So let's talk about another NCAA guy making some noise at 70. So we got Deacon Green.
Deacon Green. Interesting.
That's exactly how I would put it.
Very, very weird. Interesting.
I'm not really sure how to feel about this. I'm not sure anybody is. So, I guess that's the theme of the night here, right? Time to prove yourself.
Yeah.
Was it a fluke? It was a well-wrestled match. So yeah. When I say it's a fluke,
really impressed with
when I say it's a fluke, I don't mean to take anything away from the match. So, you know, yeah. I don't want anybody hunting me down like I thought. What's his name? Let's go. Brent Metcalf was.
Yeah, yeah. 2015.
I don't need anybody hunting down my family.
Wait, you gotta explain that moment.
So I may have.
This is hilarious.
Accidentally insulted Brent Metcalf to his face in 2015 the World Team Trials.
In front of his family.
In front of his whole family. So his son, his nephew, I don't know. Somebody grabs his leg after he's won. He's just hanging out with his family before he's got to go get drug tested. Which is everybody does. Here, man, I'm going to make it sound like Metcalf was under suspicion of drug testing.
Yeah, everyone after every.
That's a real thing that happens when, after the winners go get tested. So he was just waiting for his turn. He was hanging out with his family. And a little kid comes and grabs his leg. And Metcalf puts on a show and flails and falls down. It was funny and cute. And I say from the first row out loud in front of his family, who does that kid think he is? Darian Caldwell?
Everyone's face is like...
Everyone's face turns to stone.
And what did that guy say to you?
He was like... He said he will literally hunt down your whole family. That's what he said.
It was the most...
And I believed him. So I got pretty lucky that that he didn't actually hear me. And I think just his family did.
Anyway. Yeah,
so, little aside there. So I don't mean to insult these guys when I say it's a fluke. When you win, you win. No one can take that away from you. What I mean is, can he do it twice?
Yeah.
You know, did Green maybe take him a little bit too lightly? Or, obviously, Deacon earned the win, but is Green to blame for the loss as much as Deacon gets credit for the win?
I mean, I give Deacon a lot of credit because there was nothing that Green could do. There was nothing that Green could, you could see it in his face, like, he just couldn't figure Deacon out. It was really weird.
So, I mean, he was up with almost no time left, and he's trying not to give up the step out, and I think he gave up a two. And that's a problem that I like in freestyle, that step out point. I love it. It makes guys fight to the center. If you can't fight to the center, you're either going to give that point up, and sometimes when you fight back in, it costs you. I love that about freestyle, and, you know, Deacon put it to work. He took full advantage.
Absolutely.
He made Green try and fight back in. He got the points. So we're going to see that one now at least two more times.
I still think Green.
I think Green, and to be honest with you, I need somebody to push him. I don't think that it's a lack of motivation or anything. Obviously, I love James Green. But right now, my main concern as a spectator is not how much I like these guys. It's do we have the best team out there, and what can we do to make Team USA better?
Yeah.
And right now, it looks like Team USA is probably best with Green on it. But
I agree.
I would like to see some real challengers here. And if Deacon's the guy, then great.
I just can't see. I could never see Deacon. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I can't see him winning on the international.
I can't either. And that's why I'm still telling you that I think Green's the right guy. But we've been hurting at 70 now for a couple of years. And again, this year, I thought Green had the easier side of the world bracket. I really did. I thought he had some gifts, if you can call it that, world championship. But again, versus, you know, some of the other guys that were in the bracket, I thought he had a shot. Didn't get it through. And didn't lose to enough guys to even be able to be pulled back in and place. So, you know, that's tough for a veteran. I mean, we're talking about a veteran now who's got at least a bronze and a gold. I mean, he won what? Bronze and a silver. I mean, he won a bronze in Vegas and a silver in...
What, Budapest? Is that what it was?
I think that was Paris. Paris. Mm-hmm. So he lost to Chamizo in the finals.
Yep.
So, you know, a guy with two medals now, but it's been 2 years since he's won anything. By my math, right? 18... Maybe it was just last year.
Yeah, just last year, and then okay, because I mean, 2017 was Paris, right?
All
right,
so I'll cut him a little bit of slack, but let's see him get back on top.
Because he can. He's talented. I mean, he's in the right room. He's got good coaches over
in Yeah, Moscow. And you know what? I don't see him going down or up. So if he's going to be an impact guy, it needs to be at 70.
It's not going to be at 65. He's definitely not going to be at 74.
He didn't look good at 65. I think the guys at 74 have a little bit too much firepower and size for him. So, you know, if he's the guy at 70, and obviously next year is an Olympic year, then here's the year. Go get it done. Yeah. So I think it'll be Green. Nothing away from Deacon. That was an awesome, awesome open finals. Definitely put himself on the map here. Mm-hmm. But I think Green takes it in two.
I agree. Yep, I agree. Green takes it in two. I think one of the matches he actually texts him.
Yeah, I can see it. It doesn't take much for a guy like Green, like you said. Those
but you never know. I mean, Deacon, that's a huge that's a big deal. I mean, it's a huge mental boost being someone that's world bronze, world silver.
Do you think Greasy gets any New Jersey factor? Oh, no, he's in Lincoln. Think he gets a Nebraska boost?
I think he does.
Boy, he wins either way, huh? He's either at home, right? Or he's at his school. doesn't matter which Philex he ended up at. He's got a home crowd advantage.
Oh, Deacon must. He's like Deacon's so Deacon's
screwed.
Deacon's screwed. No, I do expect a lot out of Deacon because he's gonna be ready for him. But yeah. I just don't see him. I don't see he's not gonna have enough against him.
I agree.
Green's too dynamic. It's crazy.
All right, round of 74. One of the most interesting storylines here, obviously, was Nolf bumping up. So obviously, he wrestled 70 in the open. He loses to Green in the semis. I forget if it was like 6-5 or maybe it was 6-6 on criteria or something like that. It was close, but he did not make it by Green. I did do the math out. I think it's 3 or 4 pounds lighter than 157. Mm-hmm. So I mean that could have something to do with it. If he was pulling any kind of weight cut in college, maybe he just wants to be able to wrestle like himself, and maybe he can't do that. I mean, obviously Nolf's biggest advantage is his style, and if he doesn't feel like he can do him, then you know he's got to move up to somewhere where he's comfortable. So props to him on that. I do think it's a little weird from a competition standpoint to wrestle 70 at the open and then come into the trials at 74. Yeah. I guess he's qualified at both.
Because being national champ.
Right? Yeah, so national champ. So because 157 is in the middle, he's eligible for either. Is that the way it works?
I'm totally assuming that. I have no idea.
I mean, that's the only thing I can think. Yeah,
it makes sense.
He enters the open at 70.
I mean, he the way he is, he deserves to be at whatever weight he wants to go. But
I agree. So this is going to bring me back to what is going to be, I think, probably a pretty common theme in our shows, which is, why aren't we just doing freestyle in college?
Yeah, like,
if we just brought these weights down, this wouldn't even be a problem. just bring those weights and those rules down to the college level.
And then it'll come down to, you know, high school level, it'll come down to the middle school level, and everyone's just going to understand how.
Perfect, yeah. Now, I'm sure, you know, we'll get into this entire show. But anyway, Nolf moves up, looks great. Makes it to finals, obviously. Hits Imar. And goes 1-2 with Imar, just like he did in college. Too soon?
Too soon. Poor Imar.
I was saying this, I forget if it was to you or if it was to my dad, but Nolf ruined Imar's perfect career. Right?
Yeah.
At the time,
pinned him.
Imar was undefeated.
I remember when it happened.
Middle of his sophomore year. Yeah, I remember too. It was in that huge snowstorm.
Crazy. and it was weird because he didn't just, it wasn't like he just caught him. He was beating him the whole match.
His own funk roll too.
Yeah,
was weird.
Beating him the whole match, and then I think Imar gets a little like, you know, too hasty and tries to roll through and gets pinned.
So Nolf breaks Imar's undefeated streak, which at the time was unbelievable. Now obviously he went on, ended up losing to Chenzo a couple times, but at the time he broke that streak,
which we all thought was going to be the next Kale Sanderson.
I thought it was very possible. Yeah. On the flip side, Imar kept Nolf from being a four timer.
Yep, true. Crazy.
Two guys ruined each other's careers, but I honestly love to see it. It's a, you know, Dake Taylor type of thing. Mm. You know, I mean, yeah, Taylor is one of the best college wrestlers, one of the best wrestlers USA's had, and yet, you know, he goes down as a two-timer.
That's crazy.
He goes down as a two-timer.
But also a two-time Hodge Trophy winner. At the same
time. Yeah, so no, you're right. You're right.
But yeah, two-timer.
But, you know, you could compare his his international career, which seems like it's only just starting to heat up.
Yeah.
With somebody like Stieber, who's retired, and who's a four-timer.
Crazy. It shows you how different.
So, I mean, some of these studs run into each other, keep each other off teams, keep each other out of titles, but that's what makes it so interesting. Yeah. So obviously, Nadal bumped up, gets Aimar in the finals. I thought he got handled pretty well. In the first match, Aimar looked good. He looked bigger, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know if Nolf still had maybe some tenders in that knee. I know he tweaked it a little bit earlier in the day, and that's possible.
He did a little push out, and then he kind of tripped over himself.
Yeah, it looked kind of funky.
Kind of hopped on it.
So, I think there was actually a stoppage earlier in the day for it. One of his preliminary matches, I forget which one. So, obviously, he looked like he got kind of handled in the first one. The second match, right off the bat, my critique of Aimar was he's got full control of Nolf. I think he's got that double underhook position, again, mm-hmm. which he had on him multiple mm-hmm. times.
Yep.
And in trying to force him out, he steps out first.
Yeah, like it...
You cannot make that mistake at this level.
And especially when you're in complete control.
He was having his way with Nolf. He was in clearly dominant position there. Mm-hmm.
Clearly.
And made the mistake of stepping out first. You cannot make those kind of mental mistakes. You definitely can't make them against Nolf.
Not against
But you can't make him at this level.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe just because he was so dominant, he was getting aggressive, so fine. I mean, obviously I'm not in his shoes, but turns out that point actually comes back to bite him.
Yeah, yep. Last 5 seconds of the match. Crazy. Just throws him. Not much you can say. He was, he had like front head, right?
Yeah, I think he had him in like a head pinch position, chest wrap position.
Yep, chest wrap, and just throws him over top, 4 points.
Absolutely, what you teach.
Finishes the match. I mean, it was just beautiful. Like, that's the clutch gene coming out of Nolf for sure.
And on that same thread, you're talking about Aimar, who is up 4 points, and gets tossed here with, again, same as Ashnal, exactly 0 seconds left.
Exactly.
To the point where Aimar turns over to put Nolf on his back with a straight arm.
He was stuck. If there was 2 more seconds left, he was stuck.
Or at least you give him the one, right? You give him that reversal or his own exposure of two. Mm-hmm. Something. You give him some sort of points for that exchange at the end.
Time was out.
And
it was a beautiful
throw. Time was exactly out.
It was such a beautiful throw.
It was a beautiful throw. It looked like... The best throws are the ones that look like they might not happen.
Yeah.
Because those are the ones that have the most leverage.
They're like...
Right? When a guy shoots in, he shoots in strong, and you just chest wrap him, and he goes over. You crotch lock him, and he goes over.
Yeah.
It's fluid, and that's fine. But my favorite tosses are when, like, Dake's got a guy jacked up, and you're just not sure it's going to go.
Oh, speaking of, Dake got a guy jacked up. This happened to Aimar a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah. He got launched.
He got launched by Dake. Which Dake turned into a thrower out of nowhere.
Yeah, how did you go from one of the best defensive guys? First, it was nobody can score on him, and now it's when you try and score on him, he scores 4. I don't know.
Do you remember when he threw Jordan Burroughs?
Oh, yeah. But that's exactly the kind of toss I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So this is one of my favorite throws here when Nolf launches Aimar, because it looks like it might not happen.
Oh, well, they're staggering. Yeah.
And you're just like, is it going to go? Is it going to go?
Like, something's going to happen.
And then it gives and he launches. And I love that.
Perfect, like.
Absolutely perfect. So
toes over hips. It was beautiful.
So he takes it. Aimar's got the deer in headlights look like he gets sometimes, which I just don't get it. The kid's so powerful.
Oh, yeah.
So disciplined. And just every once in a while, he's got these mental lapses. And I think it's something. I said the same thing after his senior year finals loss to Chenzo. Mental mistakes, whacked him in the face to give up a point.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You know, going for the same trip that Chenzo keeps putting on his back with. A couple of mental mistakes when he's, you know, in my opinion, he was the better wrestler.
Mm.
So.
Oh, I've always thought that Aimar has been the better wrestler in every match he lost.
Yeah.
I've always assumed that. Even the second time around with Chenzo in the finals, I still thought Aimar was going to win.
So I think you've got a potentially hurt, definitely light, and relatively inexperienced
Nolf
versus Aimar. And so Aimar rightfully handles him in the third match. But I'll tell you, that's going to get exciting.
Yeah, I think Nolf is definitely not filled out.
Right. Now, leave those guys there and assume next year Dake moves down for Olympics. Yeah, next year's going to be dirt. I don't even want to think about it. You're taking out 4 weights. You're going to bunch these guys up. You thought this year was good. The last couple of years have been good. Forget it. You're now you're all of a sudden going to bunch these guys up in the Olympic trials.
Crazy.
It's going to be nasty. It's going to be absolutely brutal.
I mean, the last 2016 Olympic trials were amazing, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, so we've got Martinez, Burrows, now we've got Aymar, JB. I don't think there's a lot to talk about here. I mean, yeah. JB gets him, doesn't he? I mean...
Yeah, I think there'll be some weird thing that happens, and everyone's like, at first, like, oh, does Martinez have a chance?
I think that's what happened last year, right? So last year...
Well, it happens to Burrows every year.
Burrows beats him 4-1 in the first match. And everyone goes, wow, can Aymar hang? And then Burrows texts him in the second match, you know. So, I don't think it's that close. Do I think Aymar has closed the gap? Mm. Yeah. I don't know, man. Can you ever root against JB? The kid, he just seems to get...
It's impossible.
Getting better with age, almost. It's just...
And he's like a master game planner. I mean, after...
Absolutely.
Even in the same match, if he goes to the corner and talks to his coaches and then comes back, he's going to...
You're giving him 2 weeks to prepare for one guy.
Yeah, and I think you can figure... I mean, if Martinez can't get his lefty underhook, you're not going to... He's not going to score on Burrows with any shots. I mean, there's no way he's going to get a low level on him.
The problem, I think, though, with Aymar's style is get that hook. I think he gives up some position. He gives up some... Stands a little bit. He kind of stands up a little bit to get that hook. Try and pop that hook in.
Well, no wonder why he gets inside tripped by everybody. Inside tripped him.
Right. Yeah, he did. So yeah, and I think I know Burrows doesn't have that kind of trip, but I think he takes advantage. I think Burrows absolutely takes advantage. So, you know, I think we're going to see him still picking apart mistakes like he does. Mm-hmm. And I think he stays king. I think he gets it in two and it's over.
Yeah, I don't think he blast doubles him. I think it's going to be some, you know, nice clean singles.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like a weird little duck or something like that that he randomly hits sometimes.
Yeah, I think it'll be a nice mix. And then obviously if he gets his game going on top at all, it could be over quick.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he has to earn a couple takedowns, but he gets them and it's over.
Yeah, I think the first match will be tough, but then Burrows in two, so...
Same. All right, so we're out of time, but we've got the upper weights coming up in part two, so we'll see you then.